We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Well, it's good to be back with you again tonight. It's been a while. I told somebody walking in the night I was preaching, he said, "Boy, they're scratching the bottom of the barrel now." I told them they weren't scratching, they were digging. Anyhow, your pastor told me to convey to you tonight that he's up in Jacksonville, and he said to say hi. They're up there for some training, and so you want to pray for them. I don't think they come back down our way until probably Friday. Take your Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. I want to speak to you tonight on a subject that's dear to my heart, very dear to my heart. And that is love. I think you'd all agree with me tonight that we're living in some very hateful times. I can't believe any longer the things I hear. It seems like it's got to stop somewhere. And my fear for our country is if we don't stop hating one another, we're going to soon start shooting one another. And if there's ever been a time for Christians to stand up and show the love of Christ, it's now. And I want to share with you a thought that actually the Lord gave me just about a couple of weeks ago, sitting in the back of the church here in the morning worship hour. A pastor, it seems like every time you open a Bible, it seems like you see a message or you see something. I want to share these two thoughts with you. Watch them very carefully. I'll definitely expound on them for you. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll pick the reading up at verse, let's start at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of the Godhead. Now, Heavenly Father, my earnest prayer tonight is that we'll walk away from here knowing that we've met with you. That in our lives, if something has been exposed to us through this message, will bring change. And I thank you, Lord, that long before we ever started loving you, you loved us. And so my prayer is tonight, you'll speak to us through the Word. May the Holy Spirit have free course in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Growing up as a little boy in an orphanage, we used to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." But I didn't believe it. I couldn't understand my circumstances based against the song. I wasn't saved till I was in my 30s, but I just didn't believe it. I couldn't believe the things that had happened in my life and to me from a little boy on up, that God really loved you. And I will tell you that there was many a time in my life where I questioned that. And it was that thought that God used to save my soul. The night that I got saved, I was looking at a fire. I'm not going to go into all of it. But it dawned on me that God loves me. And it changed my life forever, as I'm sure it has yours. Amen. And from that point on, there was a desire in my life to try to understand how much God really loved me, to really try and put this together in my life, because when I grew up, I had no love. I didn't even know what the word meant. When I was dating Marge, my wife now of some 40 years, she told me she loved me, I thought, what's that? I didn't understand it. I couldn't process it. And I struggled with things like that for a long time till I got saved. And then I endeavored in my life to learn about the one who not only loved me, but saved me. And then I discovered something in the Bible. I want to share this with you tonight. If you're ever going to learn to know God, I want you to start out with that bullet statement. I'm going to give you two of them in your outline as we get started here tonight. There's two things that you have to truly understand before you can begin to process this whole thing of love. The first bullet statement you're going to see there is to truly, the way you view God's love will determine a great deal how you live and serve Him. Let me say that again. The way you view God's love will determine a great deal how you live and serve Him. Sooner or later, God is going to disappoint you. Sooner or later, God is going to do something in your life that you're going to question for years. He may take something from you. He may bring pain and hurt and disappointment. And so you have to reach the point to where you can go on with God when these things come into your life. The second bullet, that statement that I put there for you, to truly understand God's love, you must rise above your emotions and feelings. You have to get above that. You have to get above your emotions and your feelings because those things are going to be hurt. Those things are going to be let down. Those things are the things that are either going to drive you closer or further away from Christ if they become the engine of your life when it comes to God. And one of the things that I've discovered about Christianity is what I'm going to read to you now. You find this in verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be being rooted and grounded in love. If you take that word rooted, the Greek suggests to us that this word comes with the idea of being stable and unshakable. This is paramount in Christianity because this allows you to get up when everything else is going wrong and say, it's well with my soul. Jesus loves me, this I know. I visited a lady one day in a hospital, a tragic situation. To be honest with you, I didn't know quite what to say or how to handle this situation. Before I got a word out of my mouth, she grabbed my hand and she said, it's okay. It's okay. She said, I know God loves me. I thought, wow. And you know what I've discovered over the years? Over the years, I've discovered a lot of people say they love God, but they're not rooted and grounded in love. And when something comes along, they just go ballistics. There's no stability. Many can't work their way through it. And it simply lies at the base of a problem that is so simple. You've never taken the time to learn to know the love of God. As a matter of fact, it says here, if you look in your Bible, it says, you know, to know the love of God. Well, how do you know God's love? Well, you have to go through things in life. And so people hold grudges for life against other people. They don't care for one another. And on it goes. God doesn't love me. And then I discovered something else. You can tell people that are grounded in love. You can tell it. I don't know the depth of all of it, but I can tell you as a pastor of many years that you can see when it's at play. So here's what I'm going to give you tonight. The evidence of being rooted and grounded in love. This is the evidence. You don't know the depth of all this, but here's the evidence. Number one is a compulsion to serve. A compulsion to serve. Now listen to Paul. How many of you have ever taught in a church or had a ministry in the church? Put your hands up. Let me see. Probably in your Wednesday night crowd, just about everybody. You know what they say? Sunday morning, they come for the preacher. Sunday night, they come for the teaching. Wednesday night, they come for God. So anyhow, that's not me, okay? So here's the thing. How many of you that put your hands up would put your hand up again? Don't be afraid. I'm going to put mine up first. Have been hurt by other people in church service. I'm going to give you the answer to that. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this, "And I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Here's what Paul said. Paul said, even if you don't love me, I'm going to continue to love you. And the word spent there means to be used up. So Paul said, it doesn't matter to me. And I know the more I'd serve you and the more I love you, the less you care for me. That's a rough bunch of people, amen? He said, I'm still going to love you. That's somebody that's grounded in love. They rise above the attitude of other people. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And by the way, most people who quit serving God, it at the basis of it is some sort of emotional, some sort of feeling, or some sort of satisfaction that has to be met. You know what I learned a long time ago? People don't like you. They don't like me. And I learned a long time ago, it's not about what they think or feel. It's the truth. I mean, if you stand and preach the truth, you think people are going to go, "Yeah, amen, buddy, I needed that." Oh, no, listen, I've had them shut their Bibles and stomp out and wag their finger at me and everything else over the years. So what? Here's what I'm trying to help you with tonight. If you really are grounded in love, Paul also said this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." It means it compels us to go on. And people that are grounded and people that are rooted in love, they see past all that stuff. They really do. They see past all that stuff. Here's another one. There's a consistency in fellowship. Now, here's often what you find. Have you ever heard this in a church? This church is full of cliques. These people only hang out with these people. Yee. Well, they have nothing to do with us. If I'm 5 minutes late, they have my seat. And, you know, they come to church 10 minutes early just to get my parking spot. I had a guy one time over at New Testament, and he parked in my parking spot deliberately. Listen, this guy was angry. This guy was as mean as a rattlesnake. And I didn't say nothing to him. So he comes to me and said, "You see, I parked in your spot on Sunday." I said, "No, that's not my spot. That's God's spot." He didn't know what to do about it. Hey, listen, if you want to get an angry person angrier, that's poor English, I know, but you all need to understand that. Just be nice to them. Just be nice to them. You know, somebody who's grounded, they don't have groups of people that they hang with and others they stay away from. One of the greatest criticisms that Christ received is that he ate with sinners. He made no bones about it. But what I suspect today is that a lot of our fellowship is based on, really, if you study anything about church life, it's based on mutual likes. So it might be on a football team, a baseball team. It might be a certain hobby. It might be a certain place in the country. But somebody that's rooted and grounded, it makes no difference to them. As a matter of fact, if you can write this down, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2 says, fulfill ye my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In plain words, listen, love everybody the same. You know, you can tell people don't care for you. You can tell right off the bat. I went to the doctor the other day. He didn't care for me. I didn't say nothing. I could just tell. I didn't care for him either. Especially when he wanted to give me a shot. That doesn't work. Especially when he tells me I have to have one. Then I rebel. Listen, let me help you with something. None of us are never going to be more like Christ than when we reach across the aisle and start loving somebody that is so opposite of us. It's so easy to gossip. It's so easy to find faults out. Adrian Rogers, I think, said it well one day. He said, listen, if you could see me the way God sees me, you wouldn't like me. I would suspect in this church, as in many churches, there's lonely people. There's people that need someone just to say hi to them. Someone who's a little interested in their life. But you'll never do that unless you get grounded in love. You know, we're all pilgrims just passing through, amen? I mean, I hope you're headed to heaven, amen? And a lot of people think they're going there that aren't. And some are going to show up, it'll surprise all of us. Oh, I'm just telling you. You got to learn to love people. You got to realize it doesn't matter who they are, where they're from. You got to love them. A couple years ago, I was on a train coming out of Munich. And I was headed towards Garmisch up on the Austrian Alps, walking with a cane. And Marge was saying, why are you going to take this trip? And I said, oh, I'll tell you, who's going to change our bags? Who's going to help us? And somebody will help us. So you go up, you get off the train. You pick the train up at the airport at Munich. Then you go into what is called Munich Passing. It's a big intersection in there. Then you pick the train up. Another hour ride up to the Alps. But you have to walk. And then you have to go up these 3-4 flights of steps. They were putting in new elevators and they were broke. And so I'm sitting on the train. And the next thing you know, this guy comes up, sits right across from me. Now, he wasn't the kind of guy I wanted to talk to. I mean, the guy looked like he'd been up all night. Just a real rough-looking guy. And he tried to start a conversation with me, and I tried to blow him off a little bit. So finally, I thought, you know what? I'll just tell him I'm a pastor. That'll put him off. So he said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, you are? I mean, if you'd look at this guy, you'd probably run. I'm telling you, this guy was rough. He said, you are? I said, yeah. I said, so I thought I'll use my next tactic. You ever accept Christ as your personal Savior? Surely that gets most of them. And to my amazement, he said, I did. I said, then I tried my throat. Where? He said, studying in Russia. I thought, wow. Okay, God, stop slapping me. So the train pulls into Munich Passing. I go to get up. He said, where are you going? I told him, platform 7. I said, I'm heading up into the Alps. He said, oh, he said, let me get all your suitcases and carry them for you. Now, if that guy knew what I really thought, he might have beat me with my own stick. But I learned a terrible lesson that day. Don't judge a book by its cover. I've never been so humiliated in my life. As a matter of fact, that guy loved me more than I loved him. I got the lesson, he got the blessing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us," the prerequisite, "we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." And here's a thought in this verse that's often overlooked by many of us. It comes to life right at the very end of verse number 12. It said, "God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." There's no way that you can be grounded in love and love other people unless, first of all, you run into people that are difficult to love. You have to have that in your life. I learned a long time ago, stop running. And the idea here is there's this consistency. A real consistency. Number three in your outline, you might put this in. A confidence that is unshakable. A confidence that is unshakable. When you're grounded in love, things don't bother you as much as they once used to. As a matter of fact, all of us have fear in our life. It appears different ways at different times, but we have it. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." John's saying, listen, love casts out fear because fear torments you. And if you're tormented by fear and fear drives your life, you've got some growing to do in love. Now, understand this. I don't ever walk into the surgeon's office and he's sitting there playing with his scalpel. You're next, buddy. That I don't fear that. But what I'm saying is there's this steadiness in your life. You ever stop and think about the things we fear? I'm sure all of us have heard the statistics. Somewhere over 92, 93% of everything we fear never comes to pass. What are you fearing tonight? I taught a Sunday school class on Sunday, and I said, the worst thing somebody could do is kill you. I said, and then you'd be promoted to heaven. That's a good exchange, isn't it? But I would suggest that we would fear a whole lot less in life if all we could do is get to the point in our life where we could say, God's on the throne. You know why I don't worry about what's going to happen to our country? I do, but I don't. Because I know that one or two things are going to happen here. Number one, the rapture's coming. Or number two, I get promoted to glory. And all of this is going to happen anyhow, and it's no surprise to God. You know, Jesus told his disciples one day, he said, guys, listen, don't fear him that can kill the body. He said, the one you want to fear is and kill both the body and the soul in hell. He said, that's the one you better be worried about. I don't know if you're saved or not tonight, but I'm going to tell you what, tonight's a good night to get saved. It's a good night to say, listen, I had enough of my own life. I'm going to give my life over to the Lord. That was the best day of my life. I don't ever want to forget that. And so the idea here is that they have this confidence in God. Every little thing doesn't shake him. It doesn't throw him. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, the Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Man can't save you. You know, Solomon said, listen, it's a crazy thing to put your trust in horses and chariots. and in kings and princesses. Don't do that. Now, what are you fearing tonight? What is it that keeps you up at night? An old British farmer. Todd worked for him. Troy tried to work for him, but Troy pinched off the flower hoses. When he walked by, he let them loose and got them soaked, and he said, "You're done." But he always used to say this, and he said, "Now, young Tom," that's what he called me, young Tom. He said, "Now, young Tom, if you have something bothering you in the day," he said, "be niggling you at night." He said, "Now you get over them niggles. That's what'll get you." Did you know why a lot of people can't sleep? You ought to do a Bible study on it sometimes. Because of worry and fear. You can't sleep. Listen, a soldier on a battlefield will only sleep 2 to 4 hours. They won't sleep. That's why when they join the Army and the Marines and some of those other things, they learn how to sleep whenever they can. Here's another one. A commitment to Scripture. You can definitely tell people that are grounded in love the way they handle that Bible. The Bible shouldn't be a chore to read. It shouldn't be something, "Well, I got to get my devotion in for the day." You know, if you're thinking like that, you're backslidden. You ought to love to read your Bible. You ought to want to know what God has for you. You know, Jesus one day speaking said this. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him." So how much do we love Christ? How much do we love the Lord? I've been in places where Todd and I gave them their first Bibles. My first trip into Romania, we had to take a detour because the missionary that was taking us had to get his Bible to this lady's house at 11 o'clock at night, and she was waiting for it, and she would stay up all night and start writing it and translating it. So by the time we left on Sunday or Monday, she would at least have John and Mark and Luke. And I can show you videos in churches where they had no Bibles. And yet the average Christian in America has between 7 and 8 Bibles. And people that are rooted and grounded in love, they love the Bible. Let me give you something tonight to take home with you. Don't ever put a question mark where God has put a period. Don't ever do that. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, John says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not harmful. They're not hurtful. They're the best thing for us." People say, "Well, I'm free." Well, you are free indeed, but freedom still has its constraints. If you don't believe me, get out here on the road tonight and drive 100 miles an hour. You won't be free long. You're going to see somebody come up alongside and say, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm free." "Well, you will be in the jailhouse." Listen, let me ask you a question. You read your Bible? Huh? I mean, you sit down and just study it. If all you're doing is getting fed Sunday morning and Wednesday night, I'm telling you, you're pretty lean. Is it easier to read the Bible every day? No. Especially when God is using it to straighten you out. Sometimes I've had to sneak up on verses. Listen, I used to have this crazy idea in my early ministry. Don't read the book of Job and you won't have problems. Like Gomer Pyle said, surprise, surprise, surprise. That's as bad as saying I won't go to a mission conference so God can't call me into missions. Whoever said you need to go to a missions conference? But I did find one thing. If you don't read this Bible, you're missing something. Something you can't get anywhere else. And you know what? Let me help you something, folks. There's no way around it. You have to sit down and read it. We got all these new gadgets. We got all these new things out in the world today. But you still have no substitute for reading your Bible. And here's what I found out. People that are grounded in love, that love God's word, they practice it. It's what comes out of their mouth. It's when you get around them. That's what they talk about. They like to hear the word of God. I think there used to be that old song, I love the old story. And I like that song. Here's another one. This might be a little hard to write down. I'll explain to you. A combatant to sin. They know how to combat sin. Here it is, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. You know what? Somebody that's in love with God, somebody that's rooted and grounded in love, you know what they say? They're just a sinner like I am. I don't have to get nasty with them. I can still love them. You know, when you get hurt, it's a real test of where your love's at. Because people will hurt you. People you never thought would say things and do things that they don't even know that you know you found out. You still got to love them. And you got to realize that sin is a real divider. Somebody asked me not too long ago, hey, if this person does this, are you going to disassociate yourself with them? I said, no. You're still a brother in Christ. And love allows you to look beyond somebody's sin. After all, isn't that what Jesus did to us? You know, the Bible says if God held us accountable for our sins, we'd be in big trouble. And so they combat it when something comes along. They know how to fight it. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Here's the thing I'm trying to get you to see, folks. Just because somebody makes a mistake, it doesn't mean you stop loving them. Amen? You love them despite themselves. After all, we're not their judge, amen? You might be the only lifeline they have. And so they combat sin. When sin sticks up its head, they say, hey, look, sin is not going to defeat me. By the way, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, amen? And you can love the most vile people. You don't have to love their sin, that's for sure. But you still ought to love them. You ought to care for them. Time's getting away from here. Here's another one. They have a courageous heart. A courageous heart. In John 15, 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Obviously, we know that the first interpretation or meaning behind that would come Christ, because he laid down his life for us. There's no greater love than this in the sacrifice. In his Sunday school class I was teaching on Sunday, someone asked us to pray for the church in a different part of the world where they're facing persecution. In China, the Christians are hiding. I don't know if you've seen the news in the last couple weeks. They're on this purge again where they're trying to purge Christianity, and they're arresting Christians everywhere. And this lady in the class knew a family over there, and they can't get out of the country, and they're hiding. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we haven't seen the half of what's coming. And if we're not careful, I'm here to tell you that you're going to be called on the carpet, and so am I, to where we stand. And so the idea here tonight is they're courageous. This is what Paul wrote to the church. At Philippi, he says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice in you all. He said, listen, I'll be glad to do it. The pastor that I sat under at New Testament Baptist Church in England was Travis Harris. And Travis Harris was a missionary over in Belgium before he came to New Testament. And one day he told a story. He said that he was getting ready to have church on Sunday morning, and there was about 8 or 9 Vietnamese come in to the church. And they asked him, what do you preach? And he said, I preach Jesus. They said, do you preach salvation? He said, yes. And they started asking him a lot of questions. Do you believe the Bible? Yes. Do you believe it's the Word of God? Yes. Would you die for the Bible? He said, yes. And then one of the Vietnamese said this, I'm glad because we've been looking for a place like this ever since we snuck out of Vietnam. And Travis said, why? Can you tell me why? And they said, because we were for some village. If I named it, I'd crucify it, so I won't say it. We were all lined up. And the Viet Cong said, anyone here that's a Christian, step forward. And they separated them. And they separated him by about 50 feet. And he said, we're going to kill you unless you denounce God. And he said, they started singing Amazing Grace. And they refused to denounce him, and they killed every one of them. And he said, I thought if I'd ever get out of this town, this country, I would find people like that, because that's what I want for my family. Coming to church is not a sacrifice. Teaching a class is not a sacrifice. We don't even know what that is. And I tell you, my dear friend, unless you're grounded in love, you're going to splatter when things start happening. You won't be around. Paul understood it all too well. One of the most frightening verses that I read in the Bible, I'm going to close out with this tonight with you. It's actually found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2 through 4. In the Revelation, we have the churches in Asia Minor. Many of those churches were killed by the Ottoman Empire, killed off. But many of the churches within and of themselves were dying. In the church at Ephesus, it says this, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience. For my name's sake hath labored and has not fainted. It's a pretty admirable thing to be said. And then, this is what follows. Nevertheless, despite all of that, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The church at Ephesus was doing everything, but they lost their first love. And that's quite possible, because your natural skills can kick in and take over where you should be spiritual. He said, you've hated those you should be hating. You've done what you're supposed to do. you don't love me. You don't love me. And then these words that one day would come to pass. Remember there from whence thou art fallen and repent. Remember where you were? God wrote to the church. You remember what you were? And do your first works. That's to love God. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. God said, listen, turn back. Turn back. Now here's what I want to say when I close tonight. In my own life, I always haven't been in love with God. There's a stint in my ministry where I started losing it. I didn't love God's people anymore. I didn't want to be around them. And I came to a conference where a man spoke on love. And there might as well have been no one else in that room besides me, and there was over 1,000 some people. And God said, Tom, that's you. You're doing everything. You're seeing great success. But you're not in love. And I say to you tonight, if there is one thing God will do in all of our lives, he'll bring us to that point. Could you say tonight, I'm rooted and grounded in love, and I still make the Lord the first love of my life?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.